A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Mailbag. Guardiola's influence, player of the season, and food items are the orders of the day. It's Saturday, 20th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Brattle.
Hello, everybody. It's the weekend. Can you believe it?
It happens every week, to be fair.
I know. But it's still great, though.
It's going great. Never lose your enthusiasm for it.
Yeah.
But don't be surprised when it comes around.
Can you believe it? In the words of Martin.
I swear, you'll never see anything like this ever again. What, Saturday?
For 6 days.
Yeah, for another 6 days at least.
Oh, dear. Of course, if you want to get involved with the mailbag, you can tweet us on X at Football Ramble, message us on Instagram at Football Ramble, and of course, email us show@footballramble.com. And of course, you can get involved on the Discord. Message us there.
Yeah.
We love you for it.
I was confused as to the way you were saying Discord there.
Oh, okay.
But it's good when people do sign up to the Patreon and become Discord members. It's a really, very vibrant community.
Very vibrant.
Very broad indeed. Church. I mean that in the nicest possible way.
It has to be. I've got an email here from Gordon.
Gordon. Wow.
Hello, darling.
Hello, darling. Name is?
Gordon. Name is?
Gordon.
Oh,
right.
Ah, it's raw.
This email's fucking raw.
Right. Manchester City going out of the Champions League has always triggered the same conversation about Pep being a ball fraud. I don't think it has now. Maybe they've won it, but okay.
Is that the question?
An overthinker compared to Don Carlo, who gets the job done. But as an Aussie long-time listener of the pod, I'd love to know your impression of his impact on football in England generally. Do you think if he hadn't arrived in the Premier League, the shift to possession-based football would have still happened? Or has it been because of him and his success? Thanks, lads.
Well, I think the first thing we have to say is that influence doesn't stay in the one place, does it? So it's not just a case of others looking at him and thinking, oh, it's interesting how he does it.
Mm.
But in fact, like, coaches, their teaching spread. So, for example, the most obvious way of his teaching spreading is Mikel Arteta going off to Arsenal. And I think the way that Arsenal have evolved this season so that they're going more possession-based and they're trying to dominate games more is quite an interesting twist in, I suppose, the Guardiola diaspora in terms of the Premier League,
isn't
it?
He's got his disciples now.
Yeah, although I very much think that Arteta would not like to be described as that.
Yeah, I've gone a bit over
but the
top
thing,
there.
The thing with Guardiola is that his disciples are all over the place.
Mm.
Like, even if they've worked with him or not,
Like Bielsa.
Well, that's what the question's getting at, isn't it?
Yeah, but Bielsa, but Bielsa's influence is nowhere near the level of the influence that Guardiola's had, because Guardiola, what the difference between like Bielsa and Guardiola is Guardiola's impact is far more widespread.
It's Oasis versus Shed 7, isn't it?
No. It's better than that. Bielsa's the Pixies and Guardiola's Nirvana.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Oh, I like that as a comparison.
I don't mind that. Yeah. I don't mind that. Well done, mate.
Thanks, bruv.
Yeah. But I don't know if this is just down to Guardiola, because tactics, of course, always evolve and change anyway. There's a lot of evolution of tactics before Guardiola even kicked a ball.
Oh, of course.
And there will be a long time after he's gone. But he's definitely in a big effect. And I often think whenever I watch a game at almost any level now, the extent to which teams pass the ball and players are far more technically gifted compared to, say, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. is really stark. And even when I go and watch Gosport Borough play, way down in the pyramid, they like to play. They try and play. And I go and see Peckham Town quite a lot. And you don't see as many, to be perfectly honest, you just don't see as many lumps now.
Long balls.
Well, you see kids' teams doing rondos before games now, don't you?
Exactly.
Yeah, the influence is extraordinary.
But the question isn't that. The question is how much of that is down to Guardiola. Now, if you
it's how you interpret it, isn't it? Because like I said, there's different ways of spreading it. So it's not just people looking at him and thinking, that is best practice. That's not the only way it spreads. So you've got Arteta, and you've got a disciple like Roberto De Zerbi, who is equally a disciple of Bielsa. So, you know, would he have been as attractive to Brighton if the Premier League hadn't changed?
Yeah, and I think that's time. It. And so my yeah, exactly. Gordon is asking about the Premier League specifically, but obviously it's important to prove the point and talk about other leagues and much lower down and so on. But I think that with Guardiola, when he first came over, obviously he managed that great Barcelona side and done very good things with Bayern, not winning the Champions League though, but still it was impressive. He came here and there was members of the press, of course, and other football fans who did think, oh, what are you going to do? You're going to try and change us? And all this kind of nonsense. And of course, Guardiola has done that. But I think he has changed a lot of the landscape, not all of it, but I think he's changed it a lot. Because when he was at Barcelona, it did feel like, oh, that's how you play the game. It almost seemed definitive of that's how you do it. And I know you get a few people going, well, that's one way of winning a game. And obviously Klopp's a little bit different. So there are ways to, you know, different ways to skin a cat, but that seemed to be the most effective, the most impressive, perhaps the most eye-catching at times as well. And when he came here, it took him, a little bit of time to get his feet under the desk. Not that long.
That first season was scruffy.
It was, but it's safe to say he got there.
But he had to move players away and get players in.
But it's safe to say he took, he took his.
Because the first thing he did was get rid of Joe Hart.
Yeah.
And that was a massive outcry at the time.
Mm. Yeah.
And he brought in, who's it, Claudio Bravo.
Yeah. Mm. All because of the talking about, is he good with his feet?
Exactly.
But the problem with Bravo is he didn't save any shots. So he had to get an Edison, you know. So what I'm sort of labouring here to say is that Guardiola's style, he showed and proved without a doubt that his way of playing is extremely effective and has been absolutely crucial, obviously, to Manchester City's unprecedented success.
Which defines the Premier League, whether you like it or not,
exactly.
Over the last five or six years.
They have been possibly the best Premier League team we've ever seen. And nobody in the press, no other fans can deny this now. It is absolutely the undisputed truth. So therefore, other teams will see that and go, right, well, we need a manager who's going to play like that, because that's the way to do it. And obviously, with you say about De Zerbi and Brighton, well, they're not going to coax Guardiola away from Man City. So who can they get who is influenced by him? And therefore,
it's similar principles,
yeah,
isn't it?
And therefore, but it spreads.
Yeah, I think.
And fans like watching that football generally.
But Guardiola's not the only reason it spreads. It's also come along at the same time as a huge uptake in access to knowledge, coaching resources, ideas, the world being a lot more connected, things like Y Scout, things like Coach's Voice. There's a lot of resource for managers at all levels to implement their ideas. And I would also say the key difference is, you mentioned Man City being under Guardiola being the best team the Premier League's ever seen. Probably true. A lot of people would say before that the best team was Manchester United under Ferguson, right? Mm-hmm. Manchester United under Ferguson.
At a particular moment, yeah.
Yeah, but the reason that, you know, the team I support, Portsmouth, who were in the second tier at the time, aren't going to go out and say, right, we're going to play at Man United, is because that was far more about pace and power and better players. And they couldn't do that. Yeah. But if you look at Guardiola now, Andy's naturally going to take the influence and go, okay, De Zerbi here and managers in Europe there. If you look at Ian Everett at Bolton, absolutely famous for his style, famous for being on record regularly as saying, Guardiola's the guy, I want to replicate what he's doing. He's an amazing at Bolton, took him up from League 2 into League 1.
Yep,
they've been very good this season. They've come pretty close. They may still get promoted. Before that, he was playing like that in the National League with Barrow, and he got them promoted playing like that, and everyone was calling them Barrow Salona, right? So what's interesting is it seems to be a system that's so good.
And it's the system.
That it can be replicated at lots of different levels.
Absolutely.
Because the press is the press, and you have to be fit. And clearly, it's very, very difficult to press for that long and to win possession half the pitch and to play possession football and keep the concentration. But actually, if you're playing in the National League and you're a bit less fit and a bit less good at football and a bit less able to concentrate, well, so is the other team.
Yeah.
So it doesn't actually matter as much. It evens itself out.
Yeah.
So I often think back to when I think Andy and maybe Jonathan Wilson, one or two others, said to me on various shows in this studio back in the day, Mourinho's amazing, but he hasn't changed the game.
No.
You know, he's just done the very best he can do with his psychology, with his coaching skill, and they've won amazing things, and he's achieved an amazing amount.
Same with Ancelotti.
And Ancelotti's the same. He's not changed the game.
No.
Guardiola's made the game unrecognisable to the point now where we would go to Fratton Park to watch Portsmouth in the second tier in the 90s, and it would quite literally, some of the players would be laughable.
Yeah.
The fans would be laughing at them.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go and watch Gosport Borough now, National League South or wherever it is, maybe even lower than that sometimes, the players want to play. They're technically gifted players.
But the point is that it can be replicated at any level because it's on quite simple fundamentals.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly. That's it.
I think that's the beauty of it. But I think we should also go back to the beginning of Gordon's question, where he says Man City going out of the Champions League has already always triggered the same conversation about Pep being a bold fraud. And you kind of touched on it. You kind of touched
on
it.
Not since they've won it, no.
Yeah, but in the past, the Champions League was seen to define him. And you touched on it before when you talked about Bayern and how his spell there is viewed. And I think it's worth underlining and worth reiterating that the way that his spell at Bayern is viewed outside of Germany and how it's viewed inside Germany, totally, totally different. If you ask match-going Bayern fans, for example, tell us about Guardiola's spell, they would say it is the best football we have ever played, hands down, and it absolutely changed this club. So I think there's always, I think, a danger of judging things too much on the Champions League, which is a cup competition, where luck is involved, where there are fine margins, whereas the league proves what you're doing again and again and again. So if we're talking about the fundamentals of his football and how he influences competitions, league competitions and countries and all that sort of stuff, what he did at Bayern is very relevant, I think. And to say it's just a, you know, a little take it or leave it sort of thing, I don't think is quite right, which is how a lot of people view it.
Certainly not how we view it.
But the question was about his impact on football in England.
Yeah.
And I think we can definitely assess that it's changed a lot since he's been here.
Yeah.
I'm just interested in finding out and thinking about how much of it is just down to him. Because, like I say, you know, a lot of football tactics have changed for years and years before Guardiola ever kicked a ball. And the teams weren't still playing WM in the early 90s. You know, that everything evolves, new ideas come along and different people come in and influence it in that way. What I find fascinating now, though, is the huge accessibility of information that if you're clever, and if you work hard, and if you look at the stuff you need to look at, and you can bring people along with you, it's kind of the same as any leadership position in any industry. You're going to be able to get people to do it. I think he has had a huge amount of influence for the reasons I've stated, but I also think there's a lot of other reasons that it's had it as well. And I think there's a lot of other ways of doing things that maybe aren't necessarily down to him.
I mean, there's the lineage, of course, of this type. I mean, you go back to Jack Reynolds, Rinus Michels, all these kind of figures.
Yeah.
Guardiola's at the top of that pile at the moment because he's alive, because he's operating. You know, that's it.
And but how much is he... that's the lineage.
Yeah.
Going from Ajax through to Barcelona and that stuff.
But it's different.
Yeah, but that's going to be my question. Yeah. How different... So he's basically taken the philosophy and moved it on to something new.
But he's operating in the modern era with modern methods of fitness and health and all these kind of things. He's put his own spin on it. But again, that period of success at Barcelona puts him on the map. And when he comes to England via Germany, he is the guy. And also the way he is, his mannerisms and so on, he is like a mad scientist sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that goes into it. But by a lot of accounts, he seems to be for the most part, a good man manager, because players like playing for him as well. I know we'd think that he's an unrelatable kind of alien from another planet.
They like winning. They like having the ball. That's why.
Yeah, but they also... But
because it's a collective philosophy, everyone feels important.
Exactly, yeah. So I think that the man management can't be understated as well. Of course, no. He's operating at a club with untold riches. And they really haven't told us, but
quite specifically untold riches,
and all that. I think that
they should see that in the impending court case. Oh, it's a mystery,
indeed. And the fact that he was a great player in the Cruyff Dream Team as well, I think, adds to the gravitas of him. Perhaps for some generations,
it's been a great thing.
It's a whole package, really.
It's been a great thing for football in general, because the other aspect that isn't really discussed that much. I wonder whether the idea that we talked about it on the show yesterday a bit about how lower league clubs, non-league clubs are about to be fucked over again by this FA Cup change. It's really tough for clubs at that level and below to function and to succeed and to even exist in a lot of occasions. I wonder how much, it'd be difficult to work this out, but I wonder how much more fans who of a lower league club or a non-league club enjoy watching their team when they know their team are going to play a bit.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if there's a calculation being made by a chairman in, say, the National League or something. Like, actually, do you know what? The reason we want that manager is because actually the fans quite like watching them play.
Yeah.
So they'll come back.
Because no one can guarantee success.
No, but if you come down and everyone just lumps and it's crap, you end up just, we've all been there, you end up thinking, and it's not true, of course, but you end up thinking, oh, if I can do that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
You want to see something a bit special. And I think that the point you made earlier about having a system, we realise, I think, more than say ever, that wouldn't be true, but certainly I personally am more aware than ever of systems being in place that can win you a game over better individuals in this country. Yeah. And I think in this country, you used to be like, right, we'll go toe-to-toe with them, we're bigger, we're stronger, or we're just better, or whatever. But we learned the hard way with the England national team that you'd go away to, say, a Croatia side, for example, who you think, well, I recognise maybe three or four, oh, there's that guy, he plays over there. But the way they kept the ball, the way they did this technique and so on. And I think that if you can apply that, which surely you can, to other levels and so on. I think managers maybe didn't give people the credit, perhaps, or maybe it's more that the people coming through are more influenced by other...
But is it not also, and it's an interesting one, I think, I guess I'd fall down the side that says he's a massively influential coach, but he's been able to be more influential because of the information revolution. Because if you are someone like a Shankly or a Paisley or even a Ferguson to an extent, how many people are watching it?
But
not as many.
You say that, but actually, I think that really underestimates the massive cultural resistance there was to Guardiola when he arrived. And Marcus touched on that. I think that sense that when he arrived and people wanted to pick out bits where he said, tackling is a last resort, for example, that became like an infamous quote. People wanted to take issue with his philosophy.
Yeah.
A lot of people wanted him to fail.
And still, with the Joe Hart thing, he's been of great boys.
He was England number one.
Yeah.
And still, in lower divisions, you'll have a lot of fans who, and I speak to a lot of fans who go, football's not that complicated. Just play 4-4-2.
Yeah.
You still have that.
Yeah.
So he's been enormously influential in helping to affect that
the most
change,
influential person in these kind of terms in my life.
Definitely.
The only other one who would have a little bit of a say perhaps would be Jurgen Klopp. But I mean, again, because I'd say Klopp has influenced things way more than the likes of Mourinho and Ancelotti, who, I say...
But his footballing philosophy has changed, even if his man management one hasn't.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the difference.
Indeed. Indeed.
That's a great question, though.
Yeah,
really great question. Thanks, Jordan. Enjoyed that. Jamie up next. He's in California. But what an international mailbag.
Whoa.
This week. One of those mailbags like a Canadian backpack. All those flags on it.
Specifically Canadian ones.
The Canadians always do that, don't they?
Because they don't want to be seen as American.
Yeah, okay, right, yeah.
I think that's unfair on Americans.
Yeah, well, here's an American here, we think.
Exactly.
From California, so Jamie.
Yeah, let's try and reset the balance, maybe.
Yeah, he says he's a Patreon subscriber as well, so good on him. Can't slag him off legally. So it's in the terms and conditions. Can't slag him off. He says, a few weeks ago, you introduced listeners to El Farolito, the San Francisco amateur side that put Portland Timbers 2 out of the cup in a fantastic display that also saw Harvey Neville sent off. Something for everyone there. Yeah. Good. I like this work. yesterday, El Farolito, who are named after a local taqueria, faced Oakland Roots, the professional team just across the bay who normally play in the US second tier. Being a local derby, the stadium was packed. Plucky El Farolito took an early lead, but finally lost 2-1 in extra time. Both sides ending the match with 10 men amid a chorus of expletives in Spanish from both fans and players and requests to tone down the language over the PA system. This sounds great. This sounds like everything we've lost in English football. You may be familiar with American sports games involving T-shirts fired into the crowd from a kind of cannon. At halftime in this game, instead of T-shirts, they fired burritos into the crowd.
Yes!
Much to everyone's delight.
Make sure the tin foil is tightly sealed. Yeah. Or the foil, should I say.
Yeah. So you can use it as a hat after.
Yeah, indeed.
What food items would Premier League or Football League sides fire into the crowd if this trend catches on? Yeah. I hope it does catch on.
You couldn't have tacos, could you?
No.
God, Benjamin.
Everywhere. Yeah. I hope it does catch on. Mm. I think football fans are ripped off enough as it is, and a bit of free food out into the canopy.
Firstly, Oakland Roots, great kit.
Is it really?
Great kit. Well, you've got one with the Black Panther on and one with the fist on it.
Very nice.
All right, blimey.
Very good.
You have to pick food items that are conducive.
So I'd probably
go burritos and not tacos.
Down Portsmouth, I would probably.
Do you know what? Sausage roll.
I was going to say a battered sausage.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yeah, because you get a little bit of protection in there. Wrap it up in a bit of foil.
Lovely.
Like, it'd be like firing giant penises at everyone.
This is a health and safety nightmare. I'm thinking with pizzas, though, like there's a frisbee-esque quality to them, isn't there?
Yeah, again, but
it would be a frozen pizza, wouldn't it? That's the problem.
That is the problem, Andy.
Do you think they don't do it here because people will get hurt? Because didn't Gunnosaurus used to fire pizza?
It feels a bit Maud Flanders, doesn't it?
It's absolutely reckless. That's why they don't do it.
But it's great.
Yeah, of course.
Have a bit of fun with it.
It's the Premier League, mate. Don't talk to me.
A full roast dinner if it's a Sunday game. Let's keep the traditions going. Here's your gravy.
Any fruit?
Yeah, that would work. Yeah. Not people aren't going to be interested in that. I can see it
bunch of grapes.
I can see it being sponsored by Greggs.
Yeah,
they would do it, wouldn't they?
I mean, I think we've got a lot here, like a pork pie, that kind of thing. Yeah. It works.
See, maybe it will happen with Greggs because they're set to mount a massive push in the States. You know,
are they really?
Yeah, they are.
Donuts, Andy. You could see some of them flying through the air.
If you're craving a toss business,
if you're like whatever that is,
if you're at Craven Cottage, a lovely bottle of Chateau Lafite.
Yeah, mind the champers.
Yeah. I think that answers.
Well, a camembert, if it was for
that. Yeah, that answers Jamie's question.
There we are, Jamie. I think you've had your fun there, Jamie. All right, let's take a quick break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We've got one here from Tyler on X. The EFL dished out their Player of the Season awards this week, and not a minute too soon. Who should win it for this season in the Premier League?
In the Premier League.
I mean, there are two overwhelming candidates for me. Mm-hmm. Declan Rice, Phil Foden.
And Joao Pellegrini, what?
Sorry. Phil Foden, you said.
Are you sending me out? You're sending me out, aren't you?
He'll send you out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously there's, what, 6 games left for some teams, 5 games for others. If you're a Chelsea boy, then there's 7 whole games left. So who are the candidates then? So you've mentioned 2 there. You said Phil Foden and Declan Rice.
Yes.
Good choices. What about Ollie Watkins?
Yep.
Yeah.
What about...
You've been influenced by Emi Martinez this week, I think.
What about...
And that's no bad thing.
What about Anthony Gordon?
Gordon.
No, or is, yeah. is that a bit of a stretch, do you think?
I think you wouldn't say he's a winner, but his name in the conversation, I think he's...
Nominated. A nominee.
I had five. First of all, I need to make it very, very clear to anyone listening, and Andy can tell me if I'm incorrect here, but I don't think I am. The reason these awards are given out at this point in the season, which is an absolutely baffling time to do it for the most part, is because they couldn't get the players to commit to it, to fill the forms in, to do all the stuff before the end of the season, because they all just wanted to go away.
Yeah.
So that
people will go on holiday for the actual awards.
Exactly.
Well.
So they have to do it early.
So do it with like two games.
So it's pointless. It's actually pointless.
Because if
how are you going to have an award ceremony with two games of the season left?
Yeah.
In the last six games, if Declan Rice is man of the match in six games and Arsenal go in to win the league,
then
it's him.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're talking about a season where it's relatively close.
Well, it doesn't matter.
This is not the same every season.
It doesn't matter though, Andy. The point is that if you have these awards, you know, with a handful of games left, it's silly bollocks.
The take is this. The only take is this. Do it at the end of the season when shit's settled, or don't do it.
Yeah.
That's the take. But given that... Tyler, let's message him. We're going to have to do it. I came up with a five. I'll give you my five, if you like.
Mm.
And one or two kind of slightly interesting ones in
I hope Dominic Solanke gets a mention.
He doesn't.
Because he plays for a smaller team.
And the South Coast. I've got Declan Rice, the aforementioned. Phil Foden, the aforementioned. That's two, fair enough.
Fair enough.
I've got Rodri in there.
Okay.
I've got Cole Palmer in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And... Mm-hmm. I've got your friend of mine.
Got to be Watkins.
Pascal Gross in there.
Oh, come on.
No one has got more assists in the Premier League this season than Pascal Gross.
I don't care.
He doesn't get any credit.
No.
I think it'd be a nice should be. It could be a nice vehicle for him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice?
I mean, it'd be nice, but
as Brian Wilson said, wouldn't it be nice?
I think we know that Marcus hates all below elite clubs that aren't Fulham.
No. No. I think it's good to mention Pascal Gross. I don't think he's going to win it. I wouldn't have him.
Marcus, make it absolutely clear.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to win it.
Right.
I'm just giving you a list of players that I think deserve a bit of credit.
Okay, fine.
Cole Palmer, you've got to say, as a standout. I mean, he's got 20 Premier League goals.
Yeah, I know. No one's complaining with that.
Right.
Who do you think? It's basically, it'll be Rice or Foden, realistically, who we think will win it, just because how the voting goes and all that.
And I guess your argument would be Foden has had the breakout season, which suggests he'll be the outstanding English player in the Premier League for quite a long time to come.
Mm.
You notice how I had my little Jude Bellingham caveat there?
Yes.
But I think if you're talking about the influence of a player on a team...
No, go on.
Is Rice ahead of Foden, I think.
Yeah.
Because Foden has kind of... he's been amazing.
Yeah.
He's been individually amazing, just like Cole Palmer's been individually amazing. But in a way, the fact that Manchester City is becoming Foden's team creates more questions than answers because of the way that it affects Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
Whereas I think what Rice has added to Arsenal is absolutely what they needed. Arsenal have changed him and he's changed Arsenal.
I agree with all that.
Would you? Yeah, no, I do as well. Would you? I mean, just to give a couple of players mentions, I mean, West Ham, you know, obviously Bowen's had a really good season.
Yeah, excellent.
I thought you might mention Lucas Paquetá. Would that be a touch generous, do you think?
Slow start to the season. Okay. I think it is a bit generous, yeah.
All right, fair enough. I mean, and even if he had a great finish to the season, who cares? Because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter exactly.
And the other one, I was going to mention, nobody from Liverpool.
Yeah.
Maybe not even Alexis McAllister.
What I'd like to happen...
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Is I'd like Declan Rice to get it now.
Yeah.
And then get sent off every single game for the rest of the season.
Absolutely disgrace himself.
Arsenal to somehow finish 12th.
Play the game at walking pace. Like letting people go. Like all the pundits are mad.
Do the full Casemiro.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
What sort of perform the last five games of the season in Minkin robes?
Yeah, exactly.
Jamie Redknapp said of Casemiro the other day on a Monday Night Football, it's like I'm watching Soccer Aid.
Yeah.
Just look at the most amazing damning of...
Because he's played.
Yeah.
He knows.
He knows what it's like.
He knows.
He knows the club.
Like.
He knows the charity event.
Is he talking of the brutality of Boris Johnson back in the day?
That wasn't Soccer Aid.
Was that not?
No.
It was something else.
I'm forgetting you're a Soccer Aid purist. I'm sorry.
I'm not a Soccer Aid purist, but I'm just saying that...
You are a Soccer Aid purist.
Yeah. I never watch it. Yeah. I like it. I endorse it.
Watch it because you're not invited to play?
He doesn't like.
I mean, it is a scandal, by the way.
He hasn't watched it since they didn't get Serge from Kasabian back.
He scored a lovely goal that time.
Beauty. He's a good player.
But for the rest of the world, do you know why I think I stopped watching it? It's because there was like England internationals playing for the rest of the world.
Yeah,
and I was like, come on,
get up some standards.
Yeah, you do.
So before we lose track of this, just one player. Just do one player each now. Who are you going to just say? Who you're going to
Rice?
Yeah, I would say Rice as well.
Anthony Robinson.
There we go.
Hey.
Right, this is from Layla on Instagram. Bilbao's boat and Portsmouth smashing up O'Neill's got me thinking. What's the best mass celebration of a club or country's achievement you guys have ever seen?
Can I just chime in and say, Portsmouth smashing up on O'Neill's wasn't an officially sanctioned celebration.
Oh, yeah. Dear. I mean, Portsmouth could have had a boat. They could have gone around the little island.
You seen this invite? Just vandalism.
For a right old tear-up.
Yeah. Are you saying it's better than Athletic because it's spontaneous rather than telegraphed?
I think it's definitely up there. You can't. Yeah. You wouldn't better sail around Portsea Island. Mm, no. It's not really. You can't really do that.
It take too long?
It's too marshy and too tidy.
It's more of a spit than an island.
It is an island.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Spit is a better word to describe the, you know, vibe.
Well, Gosport, where I grew up, is a peninsula.
It is.
Pleasing.
I mean, having seen Athletic and their Bilbao boating.
I don't think you can beat that. It reminded me of when Farage did that thing in the Thames for Brexit. Do you remember?
It didn't remind me of that.
And no, same.
Thank you for reminding me of that, you knobhead.
You know what I think would take that up a level? If you go to the Englischer Garten in Munich.
Been there many a time. Great spot.
They surf.
On the river?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I would
love to see, well, maybe not some of the more injury-prone players. Don't get Leon Goretzka on a longboard.
Well, they've got nothing to celebrate this year anyway.
But like Harry Kane. Yeah. Harry Kane win the Champions League, surfing in the Englischer Garten. That'd be amazing.
That would be good. But is there a particular mass celebration that we've seen? I mean, when Argentina won the World Cup.
That was going to be my Qatar, one. Yeah.
That, you can't deny that.
That was fantastic.
Just the whole, I mean, that massive...
The big fella on the bus stop.
Oh,
okay, come on.
What were they saying? Ole, 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 Gordo.
Yeah, that was good.
He got up there. He did get up there.
Absolutely amazing. They were amazing scenes. To be fair, the Argentinian one came to my mind, possibly because it's one of the more recent ones. But actually, I thought that, without getting too kind of mawkish about it, what the UK had been through and what England had been through in 2016 and how shit it is at the moment. Mm. 2018 was actually pretty good.
It was.
When England got through, I know they didn't actually win anything, so maybe it doesn't count for Layla's purposes, but when England got through to the semi-final of the World Cup, London, it was amazing in London. It was genuinely amazing.
Yeah. Apart from the being at home bit, in terms of regeneration, in terms of changing the feeling around a national team, it was like Germany in 2006.
Yes. Ah. Yeah, for good comparison.
The best experience I've had of that kind of thing personally would be when Portsmouth promoted in 2003, of course, but more recently would have been in the England-Denmark game in the Euros when they got through to the final, when they beat Denmark after extra time.
Yes.
That was an incredible atmosphere that I'll never forget. That was an incredible celebration. It's not really answering Layla's question, but the way that Argentina responded to winning that World Cup was amazing.
Yeah. In terms of a mass celebration, this is slightly different because I'm thinking of the players doing a group celebration.
Which is more the question.
When Lyon won the league in 2006, for the first game after they won the league, they were playing the derby against Saint-Étienne and they all went a bit mad and they painted their hair in Lyon colours.
Oh, I remember that.
Red, white and blue, and the bold ones pasted it on their pates and all the rest of it. And you thought, in a derby, this is red rag to a bull. This is going to totally backfire on you. And it didn't. They won 4-0. There are a lot of streamers in the club colours every time they score a goal. It was great derby shithousing as well as great league celebrating. I can't imagine anything worse than being a St Etienne player on that day.
Yeah, disrespectful to a great historic club in St Etienne as well.
Yeah, and sanctioned by the late, great Gerard Houllier. And you have to love that.
I do love that. The other one leapt to mind was Argentina influence, certainly, was that famous mural of Maradona in Naples, where his face is
Which
over
one?
The window.
Yeah, there are a lot.
I forget the name of the square, actually.
The one on the shutters.
On the shutters,
yeah.
Exactly, and the guy...
That's in the Spanish Quarter, isn't it?
That's right, yeah, that's it.
It's kind of... It's Maradona land since he died, basically.
Yeah, Ciro Maiello, I think it's pronounced, is a chap who lives there. He moved there in 2015 or something like that.
That's my favourite mural in my football murals book.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice little plug at the end, Andy. Well done, mate.
Yeah, I didn't really...
Get the football murals.
I haven't plugged it for a while, to be fair.
No, fair enough.
But that one is great because it's obviously, you know, we all know Maradona and Naples and...
Oh, of course.
Blah, 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 blah. But did he open it when they won the World Cup, Argentina? Because it's quite famous for that those shutters stay shut because everybody can sit. So he doesn't casually open the window. I think it's to the bathroom and let everybody see him having a shower or whatever. Yeah. But when they won the league, Napoli, the shutters went open, and of course there was hundreds of Napoli fans down there when I was and all that, and that's a lovely little
it's
quirky thing, because I think the Barge Athletic is particularly good. You're looking for these kind of quirky things or these rituals, or
well, like when Sergio Ramos dropped the trophy and the bus ran over it.
That was good.
That was a good one.
I think Steve Foster did that first for Luton with the little Woods Cup. There we go.
There you are. You see,
headbanded Steve Foster.
What a better way to end than a headband of Steve Foster in a little Woods Cup, Marcus?
I can't picture Steve Foster.
I mean, either. No.
But often Andy's references are quite obscure when he talks about, I don't know, Wimbledon players and so on. Just imagine a man from the 80s in a bandage, and he's either an American film hero or he's a Wimbledon centre half.
He was Eric Young before Eric Young was Eric Young.
Indeed, Andy.
We haven't got time to get into that.
No, certainly not. Another reference I don't quite get. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Mailbag, part of the Acast Creator Network. We're back on Monday with a brand new Ramble. In the meantime, do follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify. Thank you, Luke.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody, for your questions. We love them. Have a lovely rest of the weekend.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.